Hello and welcome again to AFCO Afternoon. We're glad you've chosen to join us this afternoon to learn principles of soul winning. We are here in Iloilo with PAFCO. Now you know what PAFCO stands for. Philippine Amazing Facts Center of Evangelism. We hope that some of you in the future can come and study with us here the principles of how to be an evangelist. But those of you that can't come, we have this AFCO Afternoon program, whereby you can learn some of the principles of soul winning. Before we begin today, I'm going to invite you to bow your heads with me for a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would teach us how we can be effective soul winners today as we consider how to give Bible studies, guide our thoughts. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Today, our class will be How to Give Bible Studies. Back in the late 1800s, S.N. Haskell was preaching at a camp meeting. And you understand that back then, they didn't have microphones. They didn't have PA. So you had to have a good, strong voice. And that was not a problem for S.N. Haskell. He had a big, booming voice. And as he was preaching in the tabernacle, it started to rain. And if you've ever been in a place where it starts to rain during a meeting, you know it kind of gets hard to hear. And they didn't have PA, and so the noise got louder and louder on the tin roof of the tabernacle, and pretty soon nobody could hear S.N. Haskell, even if it was his big booming voice. And S.N. Haskell, not wanting to dismiss the crowd, whenever he had a crowd in front of him, he liked to preach, and so being a resourceful man, he stepped down from where he was, took his Bible, stepped down from the pulpit, and walked right out into the audience. And the people got up from their seats and they gathered around him. And he began asking questions. He asked the question, when will Jesus come? And then turning to a brother, he said, brother, read Matthew 24, verse 36. And the brother read, no one knows the day or the hour. And then S.N. Haskell asked the next question, well, did Jesus promise he would come back? Sister, would you read for me John 14, 1-3? And the sister, she opened her Bible as they were all gathered around close. And she read the text, the promise, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I will come again, Jesus promised. And then Brother Haskell, he called out to somebody else. He says, what's going to happen when Jesus comes back? Please turn in your Bible and read the answer from 1 Thessalonians 4. 16 and 17, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. The meeting turned out to be a rich blessing. So the rain, rather than causing a defeat for the meeting with S.N. Haskell, it turned out to be a real blessing. And Ellen White, who was there at this particular camp meeting, although she wasn't at the actual meeting, she heard about what happened. And so she invited S.N. Haskell to come to her tent. And when he arrived there, she said to him, Brother Haskell, I heard that you had a wonderful experience the other day in spite of the rain. He said, yes, it did seem like the Holy Spirit's presence was very markedly manifest there. But he said, all I did was I just called out questions. We gathered the people around and I just called out questions that people have asked me through the years as I've been giving Bible studies. And then I had people read the answers right out of their Bible. And Ellen White said something to Brother Haskell that I'd like to underscore with you today. This is what she said. Brother Haskell, it is this method of Bible study that God has repeatedly shown me to be a method that our members should be using in families. What was the method? The method was simply calling out a question and then having people look up the answer in the Bible. This idea of taking questions that people have, common questions, and answering them from the Bible is a heaven-born plan. That's what we often think of when we think of Bible studies, the question and answer method. Ellen White says in Volume 9 of Testimonies, page 126, in the visions of the night, representations passed before me of a great reformatory movement among God's people. And I personally believe that that reformation has started to happen. And I hope it's taken a hold of your heart, church member. Reading on, she says, hundreds and thousands were seen visiting families and opening before them the Word of God. The world seemed to be lightened with a heavenly influence. So Ellen White, in vision, looking down at end times, she saw hundreds, she saw thousands going from house to house, opening the Bible, doing Bible studies. Did she see you in her vision? That's up to you. There are some Seventh-day Adventists today that are actively involved in giving Bible studies. I hope you're one of them. There are others, they'd like to become involved in Bible studies, but they don't know where to begin, so they do nothing. I understand that in South America today, about 35% of Seventh-day Adventists are giving Bible studies. And do you know when they often give their Bible studies? Can you guess? What day of the week? Sabbath afternoon. After the church members in South America, they're out door-to-door giving Bible studies. In North America, less than 2% of Seventh-day Adventists are out giving Bible studies. And of course, we see the effects. In South America, the church is rapidly growing. One pastor might have 25, 35 churches. Almost sounds like the Philippines, right? In North America, one pastor has one church oftentimes, and he spends all his time trying to deal with the problems of that church, and the church members aren't doing anything in soul winning. We need to take a lesson from the South Americans. Gospel Workers, page 352 says, "The work of God in this earth can never be finished until the men and women comprising our church membership rally to the work. There's work for you to do, and we need to rally to the work and unite their efforts with those of ministers and church officers." But people say, "But I don't think I know how to give Bible studies." Some people sort of feel bashful. They feel timid when it comes to giving Bible studies. And the great fear that many have is, well, what if somebody asks me a question that I can't answer? Is that a fear for you, PAFCO students? How about for you, those of you that are watching? I remember when I first had my first Bible study. The lady that I was studying with, she and her son, they had all kinds of questions. And being new, I didn't know the answers. And so I would often say, well, you know, that's a good question. I'm going to have to study that. And I'll come back next week when we come back for our next study, and I'll bring the answer. It was a great motivation for me because I had to dig into the Bible to find the answers to all these questions that this lady was asking me. It was a great experience. So don't feel like, well, if I don't know the answer, then I better not start. Start giving Bible studies, and then when people ask you questions, you can say, oh, that's a good question. I'll study it out and bring the answer the next time we come for a study. What about people that are introverts? Can church introverts give Bible studies? If you are introverted, God wants to use you to give Bible studies. Let me share with you an interesting quotation from the book Gospel Workers, page 383 and 4. God can breathe new life into every soul that sincerely desires to serve Him and can touch the lips with a live coal from off the altar and cause them to become eloquent with His praise. Thousands of voices. You may remember we read there, she saw, Ellen White saw thousands, hundreds and thousands of people going house to house. And so here she says, thousands of voices will be imbued with the power to speak forth the wonderful truths of God's Word. What power is that? That's the Holy Spirit. It's not us. It's God's power. The stammering tongue. You have a stammering tongue? Sometimes we feel that way. The stammering tongue will be loosed, and the timid, there's the introvert, that might be some of you. Now, some people are they are extroverts. Extroverts generally don't have a problem with giving Bible studies. It's the introverts like me. People say, are you an introvert? Yes. Ask my wife. We're two introverts, but God has called us to be involved in soul winning. It's been a great experience to be called out of self. So here it says the stammering tongue will be loosed, the timid will be made strong to bear courageous testimony to the truth. You see, the power is not in you, the power is in the Word. The Bible has the power, and as you open God's Word is what changes people. Somebody once said, man's words, if of any value, echo the words of God. So let your words, as you give Bible studies, echo God's words. Education, page 126 says, the creative energy that called the worlds into existence is where? It's in the Word of God. This Word imparts what? It imparts power. It begets life. Every command is a promise, accepted by the will, received into the soul. It brings with it the life of the Infinite One. So as you present the Word changes lives. Reminds me of my friend Gary Gibbs. We here at PAFCO, we've been using a book called Winsome Witnessing. And if you'd like to have the book, you can write to PAFCO, and perhaps we can send you one. Sell you one. They cost. Or if you come to PAFCO, it'll be part of your curriculum. But anyway, this particular book, it's an excellent book for soul winners. When Gary, who wrote the book, was doing Bible studies some years ago, he was studying with a man who had a friend, a colleague. And every time my friend Gary Gibbs would study with this man, the man would the very next day study the same Bible study with his colleague, his co-worker. How much experience did that fellow have? He hadn't been to PAFCO. He hadn't been taught how to give Bible studies. All he was doing was taking the study that Gary had shared with him yesterday and sharing it with his work associate the next day. After Gary finished the set of Bible studies, the man he'd been studying with got baptized. And what was amazing, the very same Sabbath this man was being baptized, his work associate, his friend, was also being baptized in a neighboring Seventh-day Adventist church. Now, if he can do that, so can you. You've been in the church, some of you, for years. Some of you have never given a Bible study. God is calling you to give Bible studies. How do you do it? When you take your limitations, your stammering tongue, your timid heart, and present yourself to Jesus, God can take you and use you as a soul winner. But you got to present yourself and say, Lord, I'm going to start. Don't wait till you feel like you've got all the training. Start with what you have, like the man, Gary's friend. We might mention here that not everyone that we study the Bible with is going to accept all the truth we present. That's why it's good to study with more than one person. If you have more than one Bible study, somebody's going to respond. But remember, as you give Bible studies, not everybody is going to respond positively. However, Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 19, read with me, "Go you therefore and teach all nations." We call that the Gospel Commission. Please notice the Gospel Commission does not say go and convert everybody. You can't. That's the Holy Spirit's work. It doesn't say go twist people's arms so that they're going to make a decision. Your job is to what? To teach. The Holy Spirit's job is to convict and to convert. And the message that we have is a unique message as Seventh-day Adventists. We're not just to preach the love gospel. Jesus loves me, this I know, while I keep right on sinning here below, like so many people are preaching. We have a special message, a unique message. It's the three angels' messages. That's what God has given us as Seventh-day Adventists to carry. And only Seventh-day Adventists can carry that message to the world. God has a mission, a commission for you. Carry the gospel, the three angels' message. And so he says, go. Go and teach all nations. And then the next verse says, read with me, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. If you want Jesus to be with you, what must you do? You must go and teach all nations. God didn't call you to convert. He called you to teach. He'll do the converting if you'll do the teaching. If you'll provide yourself a willing instrument, then he promises he will be with you. The only assurance that we have that Jesus will be with us is when we are serving him in soul winning. Christ Object Lessons has a beautiful promise. This is for you. Page 354 says this. He who begins with a little knowledge in a humble way, like that man that Gary was studying with. He just had a little knowledge and he would share it with his work associate. He who begins with a little knowledge in a humble way and tells what he knows while seeking diligently for further knowledge will find the whole heavenly treasure awaiting his demand. The more he seeks to impart light, the more he will receive. The more one tries to explain the Word of God to others with a love for souls, the plainer it becomes to himself. If you're not quite sure about the doctrines of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, what you need to do is go out and present them. And as you present God's Word, it becomes even plainer to you. You thought you would bless somebody else, you end up blessing yourself in the process. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs, "He who waters shall be watered also himself." But the question, of course, for us today is how? How to give Bible studies. There are actually two things we want to consider today. First is how to give Bible studies. And secondly, how to get Bible studies. I might mention right here, this is part one of a two-part series. So we might not get to everything today. We won't get to everything today. But stay with us. We'll come back next time and finish. We want to consider how to give Bible studies and how to get Bible studies. There are two types of Bible studies, actually. There's your own, and then there are those that have been prepared. If you are not a seasoned Bible worker, we recommend that you use a prepared study. Now, if you've been doing Bible studies for years, then you probably have your own set. And there are a variety of prepared studies available. You may have some there in your church, or you can ask your conference for some prepared studies. We have some from Amazing Facts. You can actually download these off of our website, afdavaurevelation.com. That's when we did our seminar down in Davao. But you can also download these from the Amazing Facts website. Here's a couple of them, the Amazing Facts lessons. And then there's the Storicals. That's what we're using here at PAFCO for our Bible studies. Here is our website, afdavao. We developed this last year. At the website, you can actually download Bible studies. You can print them and share them with people, or you can do them yourself. And we recommend that before you present studies to somebody else, first go through the studies yourself. Go through all of them so you have an overview. And then, of course, we'll show you how to use them individually. Right now, we are doing what we're calling Mysteries of Prophecy. And you can take the DVD recordings. You can order them from HCBN. You can take them to a friend of yours, your neighbor, and you can present them on their DVD player. And this is something that some people try effectively. They will take a DVD and they'll go to their neighbor, especially if it's a neighbor that they know, and they say, "You know, I've got these DVDs that I wanted to watch, but I don't have a DVD player." Now, you have to be honest. If you got a DVD player, then get rid of it for a month. So you go to your neighbor, you say, "I got this set of DVDs that I'd like to watch, but I don't have a DVD player. Could I come to your home once a week and watch them? I think you'd enjoy them as well." And so you sit down with the person, you're not having to present anything. You're just plugging in the DVD and the preacher's doing the preaching and you're the friend. I remember one time I had a man who bought my slides, my evangelistic slides. When we're in America, we sell them. PAFCO students get them for free. But anyway, I sold my PowerPoint slides, my evangelistic slides, to this church member. He took the slides, put them on his computer, and then he got the audio recording of the sermons. And he would go to his work. He had a friend at work that was open to the gospel. And he would open up his laptop computer. He would play the PowerPoint slides. At the same time, he was playing the audio, and together with his colleague, they would go through the presentation. At the end of the presentation, that colleague was baptized. All he did was open up his computer and let the preacher do the preaching. He was just the friend. I remember years ago, when I was doing personal evangelism, we had the Duquesne projector. You ever heard of the Duquesne projector? This is before computers and PowerPoint. I won't tell you how old I am. I'm not that old. But anyway, this is a few years back. They had the Duquesne projector. And so what I would do is I would take this box, little box, or sort of like a small television. And I would go for my Bible study. And you had this set of cassettes. And you put in the cassette. And you'd put in the film roll. It had a roll of film. You put the film roll in. And you'd set it up there like a television. Maybe set it up on top. What I would usually do is set it up on the table. We would gather around. And then we would turn on the Duquesne projector. And we had our Bible study. I was the friend. And the Duquesne was the preacher. I don't know who it was that was preaching. But we had them on cassette. And we had the slides. And it would go bing. And whenever I heard a ping, I knew I had to go to the next slide. It's a great way of doing Bible studies. So use a prepared Bible study. If you're not a seasoned Bible worker, and you can get prepared studies, we actually recommend that you use the printed study rather than a computer or a DVD. You can use a DVD if you feel sort of timid. Share that maybe with your friend or family. But if you'll actually present a Bible lesson to someone, you will benefit more than if you're just using a DVD. So we recommend that. Those are the two types. There are two ways to do the Bible study. One is the review way. The other is the presenter way. And if you are not a seasoned Bible worker, we recommend the review way, where you review the prepared lesson. We'll show you how to do that later. Some people use a drop-off lesson. They just drop off the lesson and they have somebody fill it out and they pick it up the next week. That might be one way to get started, but it's not the ultimate way for Bible studies. You want to be able to get into their home, sit down with them, and share God's Word. Whatever type you use, there are certain principles that you want to follow in giving Bible studies. And I want to share those with you today. Four principles for giving Bible studies. You can mark these down in your notes. And I hope you take notes, those of you that are watching. Principle number one, we must present Jesus first before testing truth. Before you present testing truths like the Sabbath, the state of the dead, baptism, the health message, and so forth, present Jesus first before you cover those things. Sometimes church members, and I experience this as an evangelist, when people come to the seminar, church members, they get all excited about these guests that are coming, and they want to present the Sabbath to them. And it might only be the first two or three nights of the meeting. And somebody comes and said, oh, I hear that you're supposed to keep the Sabbath. And the church, you know what the church members they like to do? Oh, they like to unload on those guests. These people haven't even had the opportunity to receive Jesus before we're hammering them with the Sabbath. Present Jesus first before the testing truths. Jesus said, John 12:32, read with me. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to me. If we present testing truth first, we put up sort of like a barrier between them and Jesus. First present Jesus, and then as they accept Jesus, then they have the power to live the Christian life. Jesus himself said, John 1:12, but as many as received him, that's Jesus Christ, to them he gave power. How can you have the power to accept some of these testing truths if you haven't received Jesus? And so we first want them to see Jesus as the one that can forgive them, the one that can empower them, the one that can save them. And as they receive him, then they are ready for the testing truths. Desire of Ages says this, page 826, the love of Jesus will melt and win hearts when the mere reiteration of doctrine, the testing truths, will accomplish nothing. So we want to present Jesus before we present the testing truths. I grew up in a Seventh-day Adventist home. I knew all the doctrines, but I didn't know Jesus. And I rebelled. Maybe I'll have time to share with you my personal testimony sometime. We're going to share it in our seminar. Don't have time here. But I knew the truths. I knew the testing truths, but I didn't know Jesus. And it was like a barrier, all these do's and don'ts. We first must accept Jesus before we can accept the truth, testing truths. Teach people how to surrender self to Jesus Christ. Can you do that if you don't understand how to do it yourself? Can you teach others if you don't know how to surrender yourself to Christ? Pretty hard. We must ourselves know how to surrender self to Jesus. So number one, four principles in giving Bible studies. Number one, present Jesus first before the testing truths. And this is why it's important to have a topic outline. If you are using a prepared study, then you already have your outline. And most outlines, they do have Jesus presented first. Now, if you are presenting your own studies, then you want to keep in mind, present Jesus first. Does that mean you make the first presentation a presentation on salvation? Not necessarily. We have to create interest. But before we present the testing truths, like the Sabbath, the state of man and death, so forth, we must present Jesus. Here is the lineup of the topics in the Storicals lesson, which we're using here at PAFCO. Number one is prophecy, Daniel chapter 2. Number two is the Bible. Number three is the second coming, of course, which gives us a motivation. Jesus is coming soon. Then number four is the origin of evil. Number five is salvation. And then you get down to number seven, the Sabbath. So before we call them to accept Sabbath, we call them to receive. Receive who? Receive Jesus. Present Jesus first before testing truth. Let's go to principle number two. Principle number two, present Jesus in every topic, in every doctrine. Ask yourself, how can I present Jesus in this particular doctrine or this particular truth? The book Evangelism says the third angel's message calls for the presentation of the Sabbath, so we have to present that, the Sabbath of the fourth commandment. And this truth must be brought before the world, so we can't leave that out. But the great center of attraction, who is that? Jesus Christ, must not be left out of the third angel's message. Did you see? Notice the must be and must not be. Must be, we must present the Sabbath. But we must not leave out Jesus. We present Jesus in every doctrine, in every truth. Theoretical discourses are essential that people may see the chain of truth, link after link, united in a perfect whole. And that's what we just the other day, we had a call here in our prophecy seminar. And people responded, they're planning to be baptized and become Seventh-day Adventists. And somebody was telling me just last night, what I appreciate about the Adventist message, it's so clear, those truths, link by link by link. I know it's a truth and I want to follow it. That's what they told me the other night. So here it says, theoretical discourses are essential that people can see the chain of truth, link after link, united in a perfect whole, but no discourse. How many? No discourse should ever be preached without presenting who? Jesus Christ, or Christ, it says here, Christ in Him crucified as the foundation of the gospel. So as you do your Bible studies, you want to present Jesus in every study. The sacrifice of Christ as an atonement for sin is the great truth around which all other truths cluster. In order to be rightly understood and appreciated, every truth, how many? Every truth, we have a lot of them as Seventh-day Adventists, every truth in the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation must be studied in the light that streams from the cross of Calvary. So as you're studying the Bible with your friend, your family, whoever it is, from Genesis to Revelation, in every study you present who? You present Jesus. I present before you the great, grand monument of mercy and regeneration, salvation and redemption, the Son of God, uplifted on the cross. This is to be the foundation of, what's it say? Every discourse given by our ministers. You say, but I'm not a minister. That doesn't count me. I'm just a layman. If you go out and give Bible studies, then you become a minister for Jesus. That doesn't mean you're an ordained pastor, but you can be a minister as you share God's word with people. And so in every discourse, present Jesus. That's why Jesus says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will do what? I will draw all men. And as you present Jesus in that topic, people feel drawn to Christ. Of all professing Christians, Seventh-day Adventists should be foremost in what? Uplifting Christ before the world. When people think of Seventh-day Adventists, often they think of, oh, those Sabbath keepers. They're always emphasizing the Sabbath. Somebody just in our evangelistic meeting the other day was telling me, oh, yeah, that's all you Seventh-day Adventists can talk about is the Sabbath. And I say, well, there's a lot more than just the Sabbath. And those who've been coming to our seminar, they know there's a lot more than just the Sabbath. We emphasize that simply because that's the one the Christian world has thrown away. But we have to present Jesus in the Sabbath. So the second principle as you give Bible studies, present Jesus in every topic, in every doctrine. Let's take, for example, the topic of the Sabbath. How would we present Jesus in the topic of the Sabbath? Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. He's the one that made the Sabbath. Jesus wants to have a special appointment with you. He has set a date for you. And he's the one that has set the date. You can't make up your own date. Jesus set the date. That's the Sabbath. And so he wants you to lay aside the cares, to lay aside the pressures of life, and enter into a day of rest with Jesus. I like to illustrate it this way. My wife's birthday is October 3. Before I met my wife, Sandra, October 3 meant nothing. Just another date. But then when I got to know Sandra and we were developing this love relationship, they call it falling in love. I don't think that's a very good term. We were having a wonderful time, not falling for anything, but we were in love. And I learned that Sandra's birthday was October 3, and suddenly October 3 became very special to me because I was in love with this special lady. And it's the same with Jesus. When we come to love Jesus as our personal Savior, the Sabbath then becomes a special time of fellowship with Jesus. Can you see how you put Sabbath? You put Jesus in the Sabbath? Present Jesus in every doctrine. The Sabbath is our date with Jesus. Well, take, for example, the topic of death. How would you put Jesus in the topic of death? Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Revelation chapter 1 says he has the keys of death and the grave. There is one who one day will come back and call forth the dead in Christ. Those of you that have been coming to our prophecy seminar, you know I like to end my study on death with the story of the imaginary lady that's killed. She has three little girls. And at the funeral, these little girls, they don't understand death. They see their mother laying there in the casket. She looks like she's sleeping. And at the sermon, the preacher, he says, "Well, mother, she's gone to heaven. She's up with God in heaven." And the little girls, they're looking over there at the casket and they're thinking, "Mother's laying in their casket. How could she be up in heaven?" And the preacher, he says, "God took her to be with him." And those little girls think, "Why did God take away our mother?" If the preacher were to tell the truth, mother is sleeping the sleep of death, a quiet rest. And there's only one person that can wake up mother, and that's Jesus. Someday Jesus is going to come back in the clouds of glory, and she's going to call forth the sleeping saints, and mother's going to come back to life. And those three little girls, as they're thinking about that, as they're hearing the truth, they think, "Oh, I can't wait till Jesus comes back to see mother again." Can you see how you put Jesus in the topic of death? How about hell? Can you put Jesus in the topic of hell? Yeah. Oh, yes. Jesus is a just judge. There are multitudes today who thank God, and Jesus, of course, that he's God also. They think God is going to keep the wicked alive for all the ceaseless ages of eternity in torment. And so people think God is unfair. God is cruel. I have to be careful because, boy, I sure don't want to end up in hellfire. God's going to burn me. What a picture of God. And so as you present the truth about hellfire and you read the text where God says, "I take no delight in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live." And then as you share texts like John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And you explain to people you have two choices. You either perish in hellfire, you don't live in hellfire for all eternity, you perish. Or you have eternal life with Jesus. Which do you want? I want to be with Jesus. Put Jesus into the topic of hellfire. How about health? Can you put Jesus in the topic of health? Can you? Yes. Oh, yes. Who created our bodies? Jesus. Who redeemed us? With his own precious blood, Jesus. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. "What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? You're not your own. You have been bought with a price." What was the price? The life of Jesus was paid for you, so you ought to take care of yourself. God paid so much for you, you ought to take care of your health.
And after all, God wants you to be happy. How can you be happy if you're sick? Put Jesus in every topic. Whenever you study the Bible with anybody and you're going to present some truth from God's Word, pray, dear Lord, how can I put Jesus as the center of this topic? Principle number two, present Jesus in every topic. Let's go to principle number three. Present truth gradually. Present truth gradually. Even one study a week, we must, as Bible workers, present truth gradually. Sort of like going up a natural flight of stairs where you take the next step, and it's not some huge step, and the next step, and you're going up step by step, ascending the stairway of truth. You see what a lot of people do. They practice what I call dump truck religion or dump truck theology. Have you ever seen a dump truck, you know, that goes up and everything suddenly slides out? And sometimes that's the way we present the truths of God's Word. We have a lot of truth as Seventh-day Adventists. And somebody comes to us and they say, you know, I'd like to learn about what you believe. And we lift up the back of the dump truck and we open the gate and here it is. 24 topics all compressed into one study or two studies. I have people say, you know, I was visiting somebody the other day and we spent 3 hours together studying God's Word. Praise the Lord. And I'm thinking, oh, I don't know if I should praise the Lord. Depends on whether you dump trucked on them or not. So we have to be careful as we present truth to present truth how? Right. Present truth gradually. Don't dump truck on your family or on your friend. They're not going to accept it all if it comes rushing out on them. The Bible says, Proverbs 4, verse 18, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. What is it that illuminates the world? The sun. How does the sun come up in the morning? Does it suddenly shine brightly overhead? Is that how it comes up? No, it comes up gradually. We see that the awakening of the light in the morning, and then the sun comes over the horizon, it gets brighter and brighter. And that's how we ought to present the truth. How? Gradually. Present truth gradually, then people will be much more willing to receive it. The Bible itself says, Psalms 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How should we use the light, the lamp of God's word, when we're doing Bible studies? Turn on the flashlight, aim it right at their eye. Well, that's going to blind them. Did you ever go from a dark room into the bright sunlight? You ever do that?
Yes.
And it's almost painful at first. The bright sunlight hurts your eyes because you've been accustomed to the darkness. Is our world full of darkness?
Yes.
Many of those that we associate with, our family, our friends, they are in gross darkness. And so we have to be careful as we shine the light on their pathway. We don't shine it brightly in their eyes. It'll blind them. And the way that we avoid that is by presenting truth gradually. When people get new ideas, it sort of throws them off balance. They learn that Jesus is coming soon. It's not going to be a secret event. For some people, that's a new revelation. No secret rapture. Jesus is coming back soon. They feel a bit tense. And then they learn that there's going to be a judgment. And then they learn that we're supposed to obey God, keep the Sabbath. More tension. And then they learn that the dead are sleeping in the grave. Well, I thought grandma was up in heaven. She's not in heaven. More tension. And pretty soon the tension rises so much, they feel overwhelmed. And what happens if you present too much truth too soon, people start to resist. This is the benefit of doing Bible studies as an evangelist. We call the evangelistic seminar the pressure cooker. Some of you ladies, you use a pressure cooker. That's so that you can cook food in a very short time under pressure. The evangelistic series is the pressure cooker. But when you're doing Bible studies, you know, 1 week you present a truth, and then they have a whole week to process that, to think about it, to analyze it, to accept it. The next week you present another truth, and they've got a whole week to analyze it, to process that and accept that. It's much easier. Even that in that format, we must present truth gradually. We minimize this resistance by progressing step by step, making sure a person absorbs one doctrine fully before going on to the next. That's how you avoid resistance. Did you ever try to give a bath to a cat? You will experience resistance. Well, to avoid that in Bible studies, present truth how?
Gradually.
Now, I want to clarify right here that don't be afraid to present the truth. Some people think, oh, I don't want to say, I won't present that. I know it's in the Bible study list, but I think I'll skip that Bible study because that might offend them. That's the other extreme. We must present truth gradually, but we still must present truth. Don't be intimidated. Don't be afraid to present the truth. But as you do, present it gradually, step by step. Try to harmonize each new idea with an existing belief or conviction. For example, the Sabbath. When people learn about the Sabbath, they feel the tension. Family, friends, job, church. And the tension is building up. If we harmonize the Sabbath with some already existing belief or conviction, it will be easier for them to accept it. What might one of those already existing beliefs or convictions be? If you love me, I love Jesus. Do you love Jesus? I tell people sometimes, do you love Jesus? Oh yeah, I love Jesus. Do you love Jesus enough? If Jesus were to come here today and say, friend, do you love me? What would you tell him? People say, oh, I'd say yes. And if he were to say, friend, do you love me enough to keep the Sabbath? They say, well, I guess I'd have to say yes. You see the point? We harmonize a preceding conviction, I love Jesus, a preceding belief, I love Jesus, with the Sabbath. And then it will create more tension if they refuse to accept the Sabbath because it's Jesus' day than it would be to reject it. Even though they might have problems with their work or with their friends or with their family, because they love Jesus. So harmonize each new idea with some existing belief or conviction. Let's go to our final principle. The four principles in giving Bible studies. Number four, make regular appeals. As you present God's Word, you do Bible studies, make regular appeals. It is a mistake to present 24 lessons or 36 lessons or however many lessons you have in your prepared set. Present all those lessons, and when you get all the way down to the end, then ask them to accept it all. That's a mistake. To avoid that mistake, make regular appeals. What appeal should you invite them to make? Well, the first appeal should be to receive Jesus. Number one, that was our first principle. So first of all, you invite them to receive Jesus whenever you get to that topic in your lineup of Bible studies. It might be number five, might be number four, whatever it is. After they receive Jesus, then you make the appeal to keep the commandments. Before they've even heard about the Sabbath, you make the appeal to them as you study about God's law. Do you love Jesus? Yes. Do you love Jesus enough to keep His commandments? They'll say yes. They make a decision. And then after they've made a decision to receive Jesus, they've made a decision because they've received Jesus, they love Jesus, to keep the commandments, then we call them to make a decision to keep the Sabbath. Can you see how it's progressive? After that, we might call them to a decision to be ready for Jesus coming. Jesus is coming soon. Do you want to be ready for that? People say, yes, I want to be ready. So that might be number four, depending on your lineup of topics. Number five, a decision to renounce bad habits. Bad habits like smoking or alcohol or so forth. Victory over sin. Another one would be a decision to follow the principles of health. I'm no longer going to eat camel. Camel? Nobody eats camel. How about the pig?
Yeah, that's more of a problem.
So as you get to the health study, you present the truth about health, your Bible study, then you invite them to make a decision to take care of their health.
Follow those health principles. Seventh decision could be, maybe, baptism.
When you present baptism, ask them, would you like to take the step of baptism by immersion, going under the water, coming up out of the water, to begin a new life with Jesus?
And then an eighth decision might be to return tithes. That's a commitment, because you love Jesus. Ninth decision could be to renounce the world, the dress of the world, the things the world wears, the music of the world, Bible standards, we call it. And then a tenth decision, of course, would be to become a Seventh-day Adventist. Can you see, if you presented 24 lessons, you've never called anybody to make a decision, you've never called your Bible study interest to make a choice, you get all the way down the end, you say, would you like to become a Seventh-day Adventist? Well, they might say yes. But it would be much easier if you are making regular appeals. So don't wait until you get to the end. Make regular appeals. That was principle number four. Four principles in giving Bible studies. Let's review those four principles. Number one, present Jesus before testing truths. Number two, were you taking notes? Number two, present Jesus in every topic, in every doctrine. Number three, present truth gradually. And then number four, make regular appeals. There are the four principles in giving Bible studies. Now, how should I organize and present the prepared study? If I'm going to use a prepared study, how should I organize that and present that? And another question, what are common mistakes that people make in giving Bible studies, and how can I avoid them? We've run out of time for today. So tune in again next week at this same time for part two of how to give Bible studies. But before we end today, we're going to have a hymn. And the hymn we're going to sing today is this one, O Zion, Haste. Those of you that are watching us, I invite you to stand for this hymn, this closing hymn. We'll stand here at PAFCO. O Zion, haste, thy mission high fulfilling, to tell to all the world that God is light. Let's stand. O Zion, haste, thy mission high fulfilling, to tell to all the world that God is light, that he who made all nations is not willing one soul should perish, lost in shades of night. Published glad tidings, tidings of peace, tidings of Jesus, redemption and release. Proclaim to every people, tongue and nation, that God in whom they live and move is love. Tell how he stooped to save his lost creation and died on earth that we might live above. Publish glad tidings, tidings of peace, tidings of Jesus, redemption and release. Give of thine own to bear the message glorious. Give of thy wealth to speed them on their way. Pour out thy soul for them in prayer victorious. And all thou spendest, Jesus will repay. Publish glad tidings, tidings of peace, Tidings of Jesus, redemption and release. He comes again, O Zion, ere thou meet him. Make known to every heart his saving grace. Let none whom he hath ransomed fail to greet him. Through thy neglect, unfit to see his face. Publish glad tidings, tidings of peace. Tidings of Jesus, redemption and release. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us as church members to use these simple principles in giving Bible studies. Help us to come out of ourselves, out of our comfort zone, and to find someone with which we can share your word with. And as we present the truths of the Bible, we pray that you would give us the joy of winning some soul to Jesus. Bless us, we pray, with that joy in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining us. Tune in again next week at the same time for part two, AFCO Afternoon. God bless you.